author David Wish Wilson to, well, to say he's an accomplished writer is quite the understatement. The author of 8 novels, he currently coordinates the creative writing program at Curtin Uni and has been shortlisted for a Ned Kelly Award, the WA Premier's Award, and longlisted for the ARA Historical Novel Prize. He joins me on the telephone now. Good morning, David.
Morning, Jeff.
Well, we talk here on the release of your latest novel, Cutler. Just a fantastic, rip-roaring, well, as Tim Winton puts it, a ripping page-turner. And you know, you get some pretty varied accolades. I mean, your last book was getting props from Bruce Pascoe. You're a fairly acknowledged writer. What took you to Cutler?
What took me to Cutler?
I mean, we're talking. We're out in the ocean here. We're out in this.
Yeah, it's a bit of a departure, so to speak. But
it is indeed from what we've experienced from you before.
Yeah, so I like to keep it varied and, you know, kind of fresh. But this one was because originally I was going to write a non-fiction book. I was going to be a writer in residence on a sea shepherd vessel off the coast of West Africa for a bit, and I was going to use that as kind of an entree into writing a book about marine conservation, our relationship with non-human others, many other things. But COVID came, and that was wasn't possible any longer. So I decided to go back to my stock in trade, which is writing fiction, and hopefully still raise all of those things that were important to me to represent, but in a kind of a classic, non-didactic crime fiction, ripping yarn kind of way.
But this is a pretty interesting way to grab some research, jumping out on the high seas, looking for true crime out there on the Sea Shepherd.
Yeah, well, they're doing some really good work off the coast of Africa. I mean, they're essentially acting as a police force for countries that don't have navies, so they can't protect their territorial waters. So they're doing interdiction duties and taking the military from those countries out to people who are fishing illegally in those waters, taking more than they are supposed to or otherwise breaking the rules. And, you know, there are literally millions and millions of distant water fishing vessels, and there is almost zero policing of it. So the work they're doing in that kind of space is quite groundbreaking, actually. Especially in international waters, there is no law. So there's no one policing anything, fishing vessels, particularly distant water industrial fishing vessels are doing. So I thought it was quite interesting and worth having a look at. And, yeah, like I say, I was going to use it as an entree into writing about, a kind of a philosophical text, I suppose. So but I've gone back to crime fiction because some of the crime that is specific to distant water or industrial fishing is pretty sinister. I mean, it's most people believe that slavery ended a couple of centuries ago, but in fact, it's still a huge problem at the moment. You know, there are hundreds of thousands of men out there in the ocean where no one can help them because there's no law. United Nations kind of has peacekeeping duties, etc., on land, but there's basically no one doing anything out there. So men are kept as slaves for years at sea. If they complain, they're beaten. If they complain again, they're often murdered. And, yeah, there's really nothing anybody's doing about it. So, yeah, I was attracted to what Sea Shepherd were doing, and B, I wanted to write about that or use crime fiction, I guess, as a vehicle to explore some of those issues, but also to take the kind of reader who may not be interested in reading about it, not normally. They may not pick up a non-fiction book or read a newspaper article about this because, you know, there's so much bad news in the world at the moment. But if you wrap it up in a crime fiction kind of text or vessel, hopefully you can take readers to places they might not normally want to go. At least that's the ambition.
That's a pretty savage crime going on there, given that there's massive environmental damage being done. Well, the cover picture of Cutler says it all. I guess people aren't really, as you say, aware of the slavery conditions on these boats.
Yeah, well, it's literally out of sight and out of mind. So, I mean, the reason it's happened is because distant water fishing or industrial fishing is economically an unviable industry. So certain countries like China or Spain, they subsidise these vessels to travel right around the world to fishing grounds that can be kind of pillaged because there's no kind of law. And I mean, it's the statistic that's often quoted is, you know, for every 2 tonnes of fish that are caught, it takes a tonne of diesel or bunker fuel, which is makes it a pretty expensive endeavour. And if you don't have those kind of subsidies, the one thing, the one cost that a fishing captain can control is the price of labour. So it's capitalism at its most kind of extreme. So what a lot of captains do is they go, well, you know, this is quite expensive. I'm not making that much money. I'm just not going to pay my workers. And there's not much anyone can do about it out in the open ocean. Like I say, there's no police force, just ruled by brutality. So men are basically bought and sold on the open market as slaves. And I mean, I read about one recently, poor fellow, Rohingya fellow. It took him 22 years to get home. He's basically been a slave for 22 years. And he arrived home as broke as when he left. Every time he escaped, he was handed back in to the fishing fleets by the local police. So yeah, it's a horrible story.
You'd like to think it was unimaginable in 2024.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's just, it's the nature of the industry, unfortunately, because there is no kind of policing of it. And, you know, we're all kind of culpable because even though it's not necessarily Australian fishing fleets that are doing this, although fishing slaves have been found in New Zealand waters and in Scottish and Irish waters, because even though Australia is not really part of it, we're still culpable in the sense that, you know, once you fillet a fish, it's basically invisible. Nobody knows where it was caught, how it was caught, whether it was caught with a, you know, crew that is actually paid a fair wage or whether it's caught by slaves. And so often the fish that comes out of these kind of slave markets or slave boats or illegally fishing boats, it's just filleted, it's laundered with other legal fish, and they reckon about 20 to 35% of fish that comes into wealthy countries like Australia or the United States or the EU comes from these kinds of sources. But which is why, you know, there's a big push in Australia. I think there's a Senate inquiry coming up pretty soon in Australia where, you know, all fish needs to be labelled its point of origin. So better policing, not just of what's happening out in the ocean, but better policing of the supply chain as well. So.
Your protagonist, Paul Cutler, is an undercover operative, but he's checking out a Taiwanese distant water fishing vessel. We're always, you know, told at the moment, you know, I guess Peter Dutton loves to scare everybody, that there's a massive threat coming from China. It would seem from this that the biggest threat is, well, environmental.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of the fleets, unfortunately, do this in Southeast Asia. I mean, Japan, Taiwan, Thailand has been a bad actor, but is trying to clean up its game. South Korea has a really bad reputation in certain fleets. So yeah, it's a pretty widespread industry. Russian fleets, EU fleets as well. It happens in every kind of ocean basin.
Well, David, as Tim Winton said, it is a ripping page-turner, but fantastic to get some environmental information into people's heads at the same time. It's a fairly unique but a much-needed thing.
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah, I mean, the purpose, of course, is to entertain readers, so hopefully people who have no interest in this subject at all can still have a good read, you know, get all the suspense and characterisation you expect with this kind of story, but in the background, there's all that other information too.
And there's more to come with Paul Cutler, I believe.
Yeah, there's another one next year coming out, which is looking, takes a bit of a look at the cocaine gold rush, which is going on in Australia at the moment. And again, it's kind of a marine focus, but this time I'm looking at our ports and how cocaine is smuggled into our ports as well. Yeah, so he's an interesting character. He's an undercover character. It's a bit of a meta thing going on, I guess, in the same way that it interests me, obviously, as a writer, how I inhabit fictional characters. He's a fictional character who inhabits fictional characters, I suppose, in terms of the kind of roles that he takes on, depending on the way he's deployed.
Well, I love me some topical fiction, David. So, I loved Cutler, and looking forward to the next incarnation of the story of Paul Cutler.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for having me along.